Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green and Rob Misch coming to you from Reno, Nevada, where UNLV tonight defeated UNR 64-57 at the Lawler Events Center. Kind of a grinder of a game, an ugly first half. UNLV gets it going right off the bat in the second half on the offensive end. Defended solid throughout. Overall, a very solid win for the Rebels to take into finals week. They don't play again for 8 days, which is kind of strange considering the schedule they've been under here in the season's opening weeks. But 7-2 back-to-back road victories on the heels of back-to-back home losses. You don't see a lot of teams pull off stretches like that. And let's just dive into it tonight, Rob, with UNLV, UNR.
Did you say Nevada? It's Nevada.
Nevada. Midwest, Nevada.
East coast of Kansas?
Yes, eastern Kansas, Nevada. But let's talk about this one, and there's plenty to get going with. Where would you like to start? I think it's pretty obvious where we should start.
Well, the start of it was so sluggish on both sides. UNLV didn't score until there was 4 minutes gone in the game.
That was the first field goal of the game.
It was really... It was a snoozer to start with, and Nevada Reno had the edge for most of the first half. Wink Adams got into foul trouble and was on the bench for 15 minutes, and UNLV was able to stick close in this molasses affair.
Well, a big reason they were able to stay close in the first half was the defensive job they did on the Wolfpack, and most notably Luke Babbitt, who scored 15 points tonight, the heralded freshman for Nevada Reno. He scored 15 points, but 15 very pedestrian points in the sense that, you know, it's hard to remember any of his buckets that really had a lasting effect on this game.
Oh, he had some nice jumpers.
He also had
some open jumpers, too. Yeah, they defended well. UNLV defended well all over the court, but there were stretches where Nevada Reno had some very wide open shots and they missed them. But you know what? That's not a surprise because they came in shooting poorly and they just continued shooting poorly.
Only 21 3-point range.
They came in shooting 28.1% from 3-point range. And what did they do tonight? They did worse than that, 3-for-21. So that's pretty pathetic. You know, sometimes I almost think if you're a coach, you're coming into a game like this, you're shooting 28%, why even take threes? My edict on this team would be to take every single shot 16 feet and in. It's probably why I'm not coaching, but shooting that poorly, it just seems like they are just throwing possessions away.
And that's the other thing. Even when UNR tried to, we'll come to an agreement and just say UNR. When they tried to do that, you know, Luke Babbitt tried to put it on the floor and get it in. You know, Joe Darger wasn't letting him. Bryce Masamba wasn't letting him. They were really stemming those drives. And in the second half, Armand Johnson, you know, he was really the only one all night for UNR who was able to drive successfully to the hoop and find points, whether it be in lay-ins or free throws.
He really had to become selfish. He had to really start taking it over because there was just such a lack of production everywhere else around. Teamwork wasn't getting it done. They were passing, and UNLV was switching beautifully up top like they usually do. They were trapping. I mean, they were just hounding. That was really impressive defense. It's good and it's bad, I guess, that this game wasn't on TV because really, from a general fan's view, if you like scoring, if you like watching baskets, if you like basketball, you know, it wasn't exactly that. It was tough defense, and maybe that wouldn't have come through well on TV or translated well into a fine viewing.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't
show.
Yeah.
But it was just tough defense, and we sat on the baseline. It's not a usual seat that we have, and it was a treat to watch it actually.
And you know, you talked about the selfish nature this game had to take on both ends. You know, UNLV, a season low, 7 assists, 14 turnovers. And on the final stat sheet, that looks a little ugly, but it was 3 assists to 10 turnovers at the half, 4-4 in the second half, as UNLV, you know, got selfish but did it in a consistent fashion, which is, I mean, maybe not something you preach every game, but, hey, when it works, it works.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it works in different ways, and Kruger will be the first one to tell you there's no set pattern, there's no cookie-cutter way of doing it game in, game out. It's always going to be different stuff. You're going to have guys like Trayvon Willis who are going to oversleep, who are going to miss the first 2 hours of practice like he did Friday. So you're always constantly making adjustments. You're always figuring out who can play with whom. And so Trayvon oversleeps. He had been playing well, and he really established himself Wednesday night in Fresno. I thought he was really making, as we talked about, he made a big stride as a leader. He was maturing, and then he had a step back Friday. So he lost his starting position today. We'll see what happens in 8 days against Western Michigan. But what we have found out and what stayed the course today is the fact that for most of the minutes in the second half, Kruger likes it when Oscar and Willis are on the court together. They were on the court together again today when it mattered. And they were just tough. It gives him so many more options of more than one guy to bring the ball up the court. He can trap on top with defense with both those guys. It's just it's pretty powerful.
And you think about the mix and matches that you can have when obviously you're not going to have Wink Adams playing 5 first-half minutes every night, but he plays the final 20 minutes of that game all the way through. Think of all the different mixes and matches we saw during that stretch. Only 6 guys played in the second half of this one. We're going to talk a little bit more about the second half of this game, which was really the only one that we'd probably like to talk about.
Yes.
First, let's hear what Lon Kruger and a few of his players had to say on the heels of tonight's action at the Lawler Events Center. Guys, take it away.
Nay, it was all over the place. Some good, some bad. but a lot of good, a lot of good. And had 9 boards, I think, at half, and he's just active. He plays with great enthusiasm, plays with great passion, and take a lot of him. Yeah, Babb is such a good player. He's a tough matchup because he can go out on the floor, he can score inside, he's a good rebounder, he can put on the floor and make plays off the dribble. So, I thought as a group we battled him pretty good the first half, but good players like that, you just try to make him as inefficient as possible, but he's really a good player. Yeah, Wink's our kind of go-to guy in everything we do. So, it's obviously going to take your leading scorer off any team. It's going to bother. But, that's what happens when you get early fouls. He was anxious to get back in there, no question about that. He wasn't needing any breather the second half. He didn't get too many minutes the first half, so he was fine to go all the way.
Oh, it was great. Definitely had my family in the arena tonight, so it was definitely great. And, I just had to stay positive. It's only a matter of time before we all start clicking, so I was very happy with my production tonight. Oh, yeah, without a doubt, he's definitely a very good point guard, him and Trey. I think that's why Coach likes playing them together. They can take different times at playing point guard and getting to the rack, just making great plays, whether it's dishing it to someone or finishing, basically. They both do a great job of that.
Oh, yeah, Coach was telling me to attack, so, that's what I have to do, attack, look for open shots, and players were getting penetrating, everybody was attacking, so that left open shots for, different people, so just knock them down. Really just been aggressive, looking for my shot, looking for a creative play, or just different things.
Well, it's kind of like a 1-2 dimension, he could push it, I could push it in transition, and we can get easy buckets that way, and, we both could shoot the ball, and we both could make plays, and that's the advantage. We drive and kick for open defenders, open teammates, and that's the advantage with me and him on the floor together. But I played a fantastic game, and I'm proud of him, and we all gave him, some nice little love taps in the locker room at this game.
Well, that was Lon Kruger, Oscar Belfield, Rene Rougeau, Trayvon Willis talking about tonight's 64-57 victory over UNR. Let's go inside this second half because.
Let's just finish one last thing about the first half that just caught my eye as I was reviewing the play by play. Just the fact that we were about to talk about how well Oscar and Trayvon played together in the second half and how they were a really key part of this victory. But toward the end, it wasn't even toward the end actually. We're about 2/3 of the way through the first half when Trey hit a three and Oscar hit a three. And if that doesn't happen, this game could have taken on a whole different light. But there those guys are, keeping them in the game, and that was key. And that's all I wanted to squeeze in about the first half.
You done?
Yep.
Second half. Let's keep it with Oscar and Trey because not only playing together, but the final 14 minutes or so, they were both on there after Oscar came back from getting some upper leg cramps in his left leg worked out. He comes back in. The two of them run side by side along with Wink Adams for the final 14 minutes. And in that stretch, UNLV really started to pull away with some nifty plays that both of them were pulling off. And they talked about it after the game, and you heard it a little bit earlier, how they can really put the defense at a disadvantage, keep them on their heels when they're out there. You know, they both have the ability to drive and dish. They both have the ability to hit the outside jumper. They both have a lot of the same abilities.
Yeah,
and you have two of the same player out there playing the same position at the same time. It's that's a handful for a defense.
It is. Trayvon may be a little bit more physically imposing, and that's why he got the start six games ago over Oscar. But you know what? Oscar is showing that he's just as tough in his own ways. Mm. So. That's quite a duo,
and he showed that toughness in the form of swagger tonight, which was what I really noticed. And you know, Rene Rougeau's dunk, which was obviously the play of this game, and we'll talk about that in a little bit as we talk about Rene's night. But you know, the bucket after that was an Oscar Belfield three from the right wing. He hit it from the same spot. He hit one a little bit earlier. He was holding up three fingers in the air, had a sneer on his face. He gets that confidence going. Boy, is he a dangerous player.
Yeah, and you know what? It seemed like. I got to look back at my notes, but it seemed like whenever he hit four threes in the second half, and it seemed like right before them, the crowd was starting to bubble, and he just snuffed them out with those threes, and a couple of them were sort of early in the possessions too, so he was feeling it.
Well, that the one that I found most impressive was the first one he hit in the second half, where if you remember, he's bringing it up in transition. I want to say it was maybe a 3-on-3. And he pulls up short at the top of the key, looks around really quick, screw it, fires it up, nailed it, and that was a big one.
I thought he was just going to be patient and let it develop and maybe use some clock, and next thing you know, it's a jack in the box and it's up in the air and it's through and ouch.
Great shot too.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, a career high 17 points for Oscar Belfield to go with 4 rebounds, only 1 assist, but no turnovers. Trevon Willis had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 6 turnovers. But the play we just talked about, Rene Rougeau, the play of the game, you'll read about it here on LasVegasSun.com/Rebels just till you can never read about it until you can't read about it anymore. Today, it was pretty much the biggest play, of the game, but it was the highlight of maybe the biggest game of his UNLV career, huh?
Yeah, it definitely was. He finished a point shy of scoring 20 for the first time as a Rebel. But like he said afterward, that'll come. He's not worried about that. Scoring 20 isn't significant. What's significant to him is the W. Remember, he scored the first basket in the second half that started him on the 11-2 run. They kept the lead for good after that. He had some strong moves in the second half. We saw him go to the bucket and bang it off the glass and no hesitation. That's exactly what Kruger wants to see. What Rene wants to see, and he's been showing since the summer in pickup ball, is he has almost been dunking. I don't want to say like Drexler, but he in some pickup games he was really flashing from the wings and dunking and just power tip slams and follows. He really wanted to be that guy that Corey Bailey was last year and sneak up there and dunking on people when they least expected it. We haven't seen that much. He had a play against Cal. It was nullified, foul. This was the first time, really, that it parted like the Red Sea. He saw it open. He power dribbles into the right, dunk, foul, free throw. He's been just waiting to do that for months, and he said there's more to come.
Yeah, and even though his offense has been kind of slow to come along this year and it's been kind of inconsistent, the one thing that he's really consistently done is fill the stat sheet. And once again tonight, on top of the 19 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. I mean, the guy's all over the place. And when he's scoring points, he's about as well-rounded of a player as you might find in this league, just with everything he can contribute.
Don't forget the 5 turnovers too.
Well, yeah.
But
everybody was turning it over tonight.
Right. It was pretty sloppy. And I only say that because Kruger said that. We were asking him about Rene, and he said that, boy, he did a lot of good things. He did some bad things, but he did more good things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something for everybody to learn. That dunk, by the way, I don't think we fully explained it. It came with 5:13 left. That made it 53-42, gave him a double-digit spacing, and really it didn't enable them to coast the rest of the way, but it gave him a cushion that was invaluable. And once again, before and after that dunk, Oscar three-pointers.
Yep.
So it was quite a show tonight.
Yeah, it really was. And another thing worth talking about in the second half was Wink Adams, who only played 5 minutes in the first half. Like we said, two fouls. He sat for a lot of it. He sat there and listened to the UNR student fans who were adjacent to the bench.
You want to do the chant? Yeah. You want to do the chant?
No, I don't.
I'll do it. Little Winky. He'd never heard that before, and he actually gave him credit. You know, that was something unique and original, and it actually flustered him. He missed a free throw because of it, he told me. Wink is still in a slump, and this is not a minor thing. He's 12 for 48 in his last four games. That qualifies as his longest slump in his past 3 years. He's only had one longer slump, and guess when that was? His very first five games as a Rebel, and he shot 12 for 48 during that slump. So he is now in uncharted territory. Can he come out of it, and will he come out of it, and when?
I think the encouraging sign tonight is that, you know, he's – I think I saw him charging the boards as he was hoisting shots tonight more so than he has been the last few games.
Absolutely.
I think he's basically – you know how you can respect a streak? He's respecting the slump. And that he's thinking, if I'm not going to make shots, I might as well hustle and try. And the first two misses he had in the second half,
right.
He got the offensive rebound both right. times. And what happened on those two? The first time, he gets to the line and hits two free throws.
Right.
The next time, he dishes it inside for an easy layup for Rougeau. So,
right.
You know, I think it's you can give him a little bit of a get out of a jail free card because of that. But yes, he is still slumping, and you know we were talking about this too. This team, you know, doesn't it's probably a good thing right now that this team doesn't need 17, 18 points a game on it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I know so. Backing up a little bit, he's respecting more than the things that you highlighted there. Mm-hmm. He's respecting Kruger.
Well, yeah.
there has been some big messages over the past 2 days that everybody is going to crash the boards, and that's what we saw tonight. We also saw UNR grab only 5 boards under their offensive glass. That is a low for a UNLV opponent this season. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the first time a UNLV foe has grabbed single digits in offensive rebounds. So they've been getting worked under the boards, and that has been the message the past few days in practice. Hey, that's going to stop.
On that end of the floor, 5 offensive rebounds for UNR, 32 defensive rebounds for UNLV.
Yeah, they really did a great
job. That's pretty good balance. And you know, one final thing I want to hit on before we get out of here and talk about the upcoming week, the defensive job UNLV did. You got to give them a lot of credit because, you know, whereas UNR defended basically for a half, as Mark Fox said, UNLV pretty good defense for the full 40. And a good pat on the back for Joe Darger, who really struggled defensively Wednesday night in Fresno, had some trouble switching off on screens. Fresno hit a lot of those threes off of those. When they didn't switch, Fresno was hitting a lot of those threes that kept them in the game late. Tonight, UNLV was switching consistently. They were doing a good job of it, and kept hands in the faces, especially in Luke Babbitt's face.
Well, we've covered that. We've been talking about that. Yeah. We've covered that a lot on this little podcast for all of our great
listeners.
But he
needs another pat on the back, in my mind.
Well, yeah. you know what? It was a great defensive effort. The Wolfpack shot 34%. That is a season low for a UNLV opponent. So all the numbers clearly show that it was one heck of an effort. And we did see a lot of great defense, a lot of double-teaming, a lot of trapping. We saw all that. But we also did see a good number of open shots that they just clearly missed.
Yep.
And that's the pattern they've set this season, and sometimes Leopards don't change their spots.
And that's how you leave the door open to lose at home.
Yes.
Well, the upcoming week, UNLV doesn't play for 8 days, and they don't play at the Thomas and Mack Center for 11 days. So
yeah, they'll be back at the Orleans Arena.
December 14th.
Yeah, next Sunday.
How do you think this? You know, they've had such a hectic schedule these first few weeks of the season. How do you think this these 8 days off? I guess from a game schedule, maybe do you see any kind of effect here?
I think it'll be a really good breath of fresh air for them. I think they can rest up. Darius Santee has a banged up finger on his right side. Other guys have little nicks, bruises. Trayvon Willis has a chest cold. This will offer them a great window to get healthy in some minor little ways. And the very best thing about it is, as we have noted, They seem to really relish playing on the road. Well, this game at the Orleans Arena, they can look at it as another road game, you know. And the funny thing about this is I was looking at the practice gym at the Cox Pavilion yesterday, and it was just ironic how it sort of mirrors the Orleans Arena, because the Orleans is a horseshoe arena.
Yeah.
You have one end that's sort of closed off. You got the wall right there, and then you got an open end. So maybe that bodes well for them. You know, they're going to think it's just a little bit bigger practice gym, and
just a few more people hanging out watching practice.
A couple more people, sure.
Well, any final comments before we are before we pack it up to ship back down to Vegas?
No.
From fabulous Reno.
I have nothing else to say about Nevada.
Nevada. See more of this great state. We've been here about 6 months, and I've seen its two gyms are...
You'll learn how to pronounce certain things correctly.
What, Nevada? Tomato, tomato? How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it good night.
All right. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. We'll talk to you later on this week.